Heavenly greetings in Jesus' mighty name. Yes, thank you for joining us once again. This is part two of the series all about the process of believing. Yes, we talked about how the Word of God is a seed of divine life that comes into our hearts and causes faith to grow. And in order for that seed to be planted in our heart, first of all, the first step in that process is knowledge. Knowledge which brings us out of the darkness of ignorance into the light of God, to know the truth. That's step number one. And step number two is what we're going to talk about today, which is all about acceptance of the truth. One thing is to know something. Another thing is to accept it in your heart. It's all about your heart being open and ready to accept the truth. And that is when that truth can work in your heart and change you. So let's talk about acceptance of the truth.
Hallelujah. So we talk about the process of believing. We realize that until we realize that our heart is a temple of faith, the workshop of faith, then we still need to invite the Holy Ghost in our lives. Mm. Because the process of believing we are talking about in this program, it first starts with the revelation from the Holy Spirit. Mm. Knowledge will come revealed by the Spirit of God. And second, the Holy Ghost will guide us into the understanding of that revelation. Mm. Because that understanding will lead us to accept that, yes, this is true. How can I accept something if I do not understand it? Mm. Once I understand the meaning of this promise, that, hey, this is true, that's why the work of the Holy Ghost in salvation starts by conviction. John chapter 16 said it clearly. Read from verse 5 to verse 11. He convicts of sin. He convicts of righteousness. And he convicts of judgment. Means the Spirit of God will open my eyes to see how wrong sin is, how damaging sin is. And number two, I say, hey, what's the way out? Then he convicts me of righteousness, as he did for the Ethiopian eunuch. He showed him the righteousness of God by faith in Christ Jesus, revealed by the Spirit of the Father. That's why Jesus said, he convicts of righteousness because you will see me no more. Means only by faith in his name, you can see the kingdom of heaven. Now, for this to happen, we need the mercy of the Holy Ghost to open our eyes first to see the promise of God. That's revelation knowledge. Now today, we realize that the fact that you see have a revelation or from God does not mean you accept it. Some people say, yes, Jesus is. In fact, when you listen to people, even those who do not believe, they say, Jesus is a nice person.
Yeah.
Some say he's a smart rabbi. Very nice.
Well, he was nice for the people. He was a radical.
Yeah, some people say, I don't have any problem with Jesus. He's very nice. But I don't believe. I'm not a Christian, but I like Jesus. Many people say that in their life. Many people say this. The fact that you heard about something or you know it intellectually or revealed to you does not mean you will accept it. Mm. You can only accept something when you believe it is true for your life. Unfortunately, we are too conditioned to believe that the Bible is just story. Mm. Narrative. They say narrative. Everyone uses the word narrative of the Bible.
That it can't actually happen for us.
Absolutely. It cannot happen to the time of the Bible. Oh, this was only true in the time of the Bible. This gift of the Spirit talking about was for the beginning. Many believed it and teach it today. Mm. That what happened at Pentecost, it is true Pentecost was a specific event. But the pouring of God's gift is not for one event. It's for lifetime. Mm. Jesus said, he who believes in me, the works I do, he will do also and greater than these.
That's the promise of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, and Paul say, desire spiritual gifts. He encouraged the church for that. The problem we have is the genuineness of it. And that's just the issue. But God's word means the same yesterday, today, and forever. Mm. Now, we are talking about the work of the Holy Ghost at first start with revelation knowledge. When he opens our eyes to see the truth in the word. Number two. Second word, he will guide us into an understanding of that revelation.
And that's what will cause us to accept it.
Absolutely. Because what you understand is what you accept. You can never accept or believe or receive what you do not understand. Once you understand enough, that understanding will lead you to conviction that, yes, not only it is true, but it is true for my life. And that brings conviction. And conviction is an opinion formed with my heart. Means that's where belief starts. So the work of the Holy Ghost is carried first to revelation, then to the understanding, then it is carried to the will. Because I exercise my will based on my conviction. Yes, I want to be saved. And you act of faith and receive salvation. Today, let's talk about how do we accept the seed? That's the question, Ruth. How do we accept it? Remember, where is the seed planted?
In our heart.
How can our heart accept? Mean we need to allow our heart to receive the seed. It's all about allowing the word to enter your heart or not. We know 1 Samuel chapter 3, that young boy called Samuel, is a story that everybody knows in the Bible. But it contains deep revelation, knowledge that can teach us spiritual things. A young boy received a calling from God. And the scripture says, he heard a voice calling his name. That's revelation. Because Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle. And the Ark of Covenant, where God used to speak to Moses, was just next, beyond the veil. And what happened? God spoke to this boy, Samuel, Samuel. He stood up and ran to his earthly master. Revelation came, but he couldn't understand where the voice came from. He thought it was a man speaking to him. He came to him, he called me, said, no, I did not call you. Go and lie down. He went. You know, God never gives up. Samuel, Samuel. He stood up, ran, because he was not familiar to the voice.
Thank God, God never gives up.
God never gives up. Third time, God came again. Third time, the master said, ah, this must be God. Next time he calls you, don't come to me. Just say, speak, Lord. Your servant is hearing. Now we can see the greatest hindrance we face to perceive the word of God is wrong focus. When our focus is wrong, we are unable to know where the voice comes from. When the state of our heart is not set, we will not be able to discern where the voice comes from. This is the reason why Solomon, when he was introduced to become a king, asked God a special prayer. Ruth, let's go quickly. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9. Solomon was called to be a king. Means he would have to sit on the throne of judgment when cases were brought to him. So when cases were brought to him, he has to take judgment, rightful judgment, to lead a very mighty, mighty, mighty people. Let's listen to the prayer he offered. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9. Let's listen.
Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil.
Oh, my God.
For who is able to judge this great people of yours?
Now, can you take it word by word? I want to break it down.
Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart.
Give me an understanding heart. Remember Isaiah we read, 6 verse 9. Make the heart of these people dull, so the hearing, they will not understand. Seeing, they will not perceive. Our heart, our spirit is a part of us that receives inspiration, revelation, and spiritual understanding from God. So, Solomon says, I can't judge by myself unless I hear from you guiding me. Let your spirit speak to me. Tell me what to do. I don't know how to judge. So, give me an understanding heart so I can discern when you speak to me what it means. Give me a discerning heart. Discerning has to do with understanding. I can see revelation, but I need to understand to discern whether it is from God or not from God. That's discernment, sense of judgment. When you have the discerning of spirit, that gift of the Holy Ghost in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, 10, the discerning of spirit, you will be able to discern what is from God, what is not from God. That's when you can do the rightful judgment with your conscience, hearing from Jesus, hearing from God, from the Holy Spirit. So, let's come back to what I was saying before. Now, how can one accept a revelation if he does not understand it? Previously, we saw the Ethiopian eunuch. When he was reading the book of Isaiah, he couldn't understand. How will I understand unless somebody guide me? Mm. Now, we'll take an example of Simon Peter. We all know Peter. I love Peter so much because we have seen in the scripture anytime Jesus asks people, test them to know whether they know him or not. When they say, who eats my flesh and drinks my blood, I have eternal life. In John chapter 6, the scripture says, many disciples say, these are hard sayings. They could not believe and they left Jesus and stopped walking with Christ. Then the Lord turned and said, you, why are you not going? Peter said, you have the words of eternal life. Peter spoke words of life revealed to him by God. That's why he was closer to Jesus more than ever before. When in Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, Jesus said, who do people say I am? Some begin to quote the prophecy, the prophet of old. And they say, you, who are with me? Who do you say I am? Peter said, you are?
The Christ, the Son of the living God.
The living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and bone do not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. Can't you see that Peter has been a gift? When he hears from Jesus, from God, you know, this is God speaking, and he spoke it immediately. When Jesus was walking the water, Simon was the only one say, Lord, if it is you, ask me to come. If you say, come, I will step in the boat and walk in the water. Jesus, come, and he obeyed. That was Simon Peter. He just wanted to hear from God and walked on it. That's Peter for you. Now, the same Peter, he received the Holy Spirit, right? He was baptized in the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 2, he was the one that preached the first message of the gospel. One day, what happened to the Pharisees at the first? The same temptation came one day. Knowledge can come, but do you understand what it means? God knew the time had come to fulfill the promise of Abraham that the nations, the Gentiles, will too receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. But don't forget, the people of Israel thought the Messiah was for them. They were waiting for the Messiah to save Israel. But they forgot in the promise made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, God said, in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. How? Take your son Isaac. Go and sacrifice for me. God was revealing what he will do through the gospel by sacrificing his son to be the Lamb of God to bring the nation, the Gentiles, under one body, Christ. And that's what Jesus was fulfilling that time. That's the promise. Now, Peter did not get that in his mind at first. Because the first people that were saved were all Jewish people. But the nations, the Gentiles, did not yet receive. God gave a vision to Peter to prepare him. In Acts chapter 10, can we go? Let's start from verse 10.
Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners.
1 second. When you say he fell into a trance, anytime you hear it in the Bible, mean God took him in the spirit. You are the natural, you don't see anything. But if the Holy Ghost come upon you, immediately he can take you to the spirit. They're called trance. You are raptured in the spirit and you begin to see visions of God. That's why no one can hear from God either revelation or dream without the presence of the Holy Ghost, the anointing of the Spirit of God. That's what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 23, God say, I will pour my spirit and cause you to hear my voice. So he was in trance. What happened? In vision. Go ahead.
And saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. Mm-hmm. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. Mm-hmm. And a voice came to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat.
One stop. You know, all those beasts. Any person who knows the law of Moses, Leviticus chapter 5, chapter 15, says, 15, he describes all the impure animals they should never even touch. If you touch those animals, you are impure for good 7 weeks or more. So Peter said, I've never eaten anything impure. Why God is showing me impure animals and says, you kill and eat? Continue. Verse 14.
But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again the second time. What God has cleansed, you must not call common.
Okay, verse 13. Sorry, we escaped verse 13. What did the voice say to him to do?
And a voice came to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat.
Kill those impure animals and eat them. This is what we need to understand today. Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 17, Father, sanctify them by the truth, for your word is truth. We are sanctified by the truth of the word of God.
Mm.
The word of God has sanctifying power. If God instructs you to do something in righteousness, that thing is sanctified by the word of God. That's why Jesus said, as a Christian, whatever food they give you, eat it. You pray over it, it's sanctified by faith. The word of God has purifying and sanctifying power. But Peter, at that time, he only knew the commonwealth of the Jewish people.
Hmm.
He was still hesitating between the law of Moses and the new law that is coming. Of Christ, a law of freedom, of grace and faith. Why God will show Peter to catch impure animals to kill and to eat them? What did Peter say? Say it again, verse 14.
But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again the second time, what God has cleansed you must not call common.
Can't you see? Revelation came from God. And he said, Lord, he knew God was not speaking to him. But he resisted the revelation. He resisted the truth revealed to him. He never submitted to that revealing word because he failed to understand it. Peter did not understand the meaning of the vision. That's why when we have revelation, we have to ask the Holy Ghost to guide us into the understanding of that revelation and its meaning. Because the word of God can only become part of us when we understand it. What you don't understand, you reject it. It will never enter your heart. You never remain in your heart. But what you understand, you keep forever. But Peter resisted the revelation. What happened? Let's continue.
Verse this was 16. Done 3 times.
3 times. Remember? The Lord spoke to Samuel 3 times.
Mm.
And the boy couldn't understand, couldn't receive it. Until he was helped by Eli. They said to him in 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 9, go and lie down.
Mm.
When the voice comes to you again, pay attention to it. That's focus. Mm. If you want to understand, you need to be focused. I mean, look deep enough. That is focusing. When you focus on God, to know the truth, that focus will give you the perspective from God's point of view. Revelation will come by the Holy Spirit. You open the eyes of your faith to see the truth. But you have to pay attention to it. So Peter resisted. This means, remember we talk about the heart. Peter's heart did not understand the meaning of that seed God wanted to plant in his heart. So he resisted the truth. This is the reason why we have to say that our heart must be a good ground. The parable of the sower that fell, the seed that fell on the rocky, is the heart that is very hard, that have no discerning, dull in comprehension, dull in understanding. It will resist the truth. There's nothing you can do.
Not sensitive to the Spirit of
absolutely.
God.
Such heart can never believe the gospel, no matter what you preached. What you preach, no matter what you preach, no matter the miracle, say, no, I'm not. Their heart is hardened.
Mm.
Only the mind is working, but the heart is closed to spiritual revelation.
Mm.
Until you receive help from the Holy Spirit, from God. Such was the heart of Saul. Saul resisted the gospel. He fought it to stand still. Many were martyred because of him, persecuted them, because he was ignorant. On his way to Damascus to arrest the believers in Christ, in Acts chapter 9, mercy met him on the road. Revelation came and opened the eyes of his understanding. He said, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus whom you persecute.
There's no one that Jesus cannot change.
I'm telling you the truth.
And there's no situation that Jesus cannot redeem or transform.
No one is hopeless whose hope is in Christ. Jesus can change anyone, anytime, any moment. That is why we should never rush to condemn or reject anyone. Pray for the Lord to grant mercy to that person. Pray for the Lord to open the eyes of this person. And God did it. I believe many Christians was praying for him to see the truth, not to be destroyed, but to see the truth. And the wolf became a lamb when the revelation came and he understood it. He was doing the wrong battle.
So if today you feel like it's so difficult for you to understand the word of God, you feel like when you open the Bible, you don't understand anything, don't give up. Don't condemn yourself. Don't feel that you can never understand. Because the understanding we're talking about is a gift from God. And it comes with that desire to know the truth. Once you are focused, like Racine said, once your attention is on the word of God for the right motivation, for salvation's sake, for the sake of eternity, then the Holy Spirit, the Helper, will come and give you that understanding which you need.
Now, the Holy Spirit always finishes what he begins.
Amen.
When he starts giving you revelation, and you don't give up, strive, keep on meditating. Keep on meditating till it comes, gives you a clearer light. When you meditate, revelation comes. But you continue to meditate till clearer light comes. The clearer light means understanding will come, will follow. The second work of the Holy Ghost is understanding, but he will test your faith. He will allow you to search. He says, seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. While you are seeking, you have not found anything, but keep on seeking until the door is open. Knock, meditate, ask for understanding, humble yourself, and it will come at the right time and open your spiritual understanding to see the hidden truth. That's why the scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, no one can say in spirit and in truth, genuinely, that Jesus Christ is Lord, unless he or she is helped by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of revelation. So you can see, you can have a dream, a vision from God, and you may not understand it. God revealed what was going to happen to Egypt, to Pharaoh. He had a dream, two dreams. He couldn't understand. He called all his wise men. Nobody was able to explain. The seven cows, fat, and the seven ugly ones. He never understood the meaning of that. But there was a man called Joseph, who was a spiritual man, who was able to come. When he heard about the dream, by the gift of spiritual understanding, he was able to explain the dream and give the meaning to it. It was when he explained to Pharaoh, the Pharaoh understood and obeyed. They say, please, come, be the prime minister and protect us. He obeyed.
Can you see when understanding came, that's when action followed?
Absolutely. You can never act faith if you don't understand. I mean, faith demands revelation, number one. And that revelation, you have to go through a process of spiritual understanding of that revelation. That say, it is true. Now, when you understand it spiritually, what comes next? The Spirit will tell you, yes, it is true. It is true for you too. And that's why the Bible is a book that reads you. When the scripture mirror your need, and it is true for you, it is reading you. You see your need in God. You need for the Holy Ghost. You need for salvation. And that's when you understand. At the point of need, you see your need for salvation. And then conviction will come. Yes, I'm convinced. That's why the Spirit of God convicts that of sin, of righteousness. You are convicted of righteousness at the point of conviction that, yes, I need this salvation. What must I do to be saved? That's what happened to the Philippian jailer. When he saw the glory of God in life of Saul, when he called him out of darkness, he came and said, what must I do to be saved?
He knew that there was something lacking in his life.
When the revealing word of God comes to you, you know what is lacking. Next, what can I do to be saved? You have shown me how wrong sin is. What can I do to escape this? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. That's the witness of the Holy Ghost. And what happened next? What happened next?
He was saved, him and all his household.
Yes. When you come back to now, Acts chapter 10.
Oh, okay. Acts chapter 10. Getting lost there. Okay, right. Now, Acts chapter 10. So,
you know, Peter resisted the dream three times because he couldn't understand.
And God said, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times and the object was taken up into heaven again.
What God has?
Cleansed.
Now, this is a warning to every one of us here. You can say this person is a very bad person. This person is this. This person is that. But you don't know. That person in the secret place may have repented.
You don't know the process of their heart.
And God may have visited the person and changed the person without you knowing. You only have the history about the person, but the person has been changed by God. Look at Saul. When Saul, Jesus met him on the way to Damascus, nobody knew what was happening. But Jesus spoke to Ananias. Ananias, yes, Lord. There's a man called Saul. He's there. Go and meet him. Say, what? This man, Lord? He resisted at first. He's killing everybody here. You don't know what he had done? Jesus said, he is my chosen vessel. Now, understanding came why Jesus was talking to him. As a believer, he woke up and acted. He was convinced Jesus was speaking to him. He entered and said, brother Saul, the wolf became a lamb. Understanding, we said the other day, the only way to remove prejudice from my heart is spiritual revelation. When revelation come, understanding come, the veil of prejudice of ignorance is removed and we see the truth clearly. And we say, yes, it is true for me. Now the Spirit will tell you, what about you? And you say, hey, it's true. I need this. It is true for me. What can I do? You apply faith and salvation comes. Now, let's continue. Peter was struggling to understand the dream.
Now, while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you.
Listen to what Ruth said. You said first, Peter wondered.
He wondered within himself.
Wait, so he was asking himself a question. What does this mean? What does this mean? Why God showed me this dream? What's the meaning? He was wondering. But he never abandoned. He kept on wondering. He was meditating. Now go to verse 19. You see?
While Peter thought about the vision.
Thought. This is meditation. Deep thoughts.
The Spirit said to him, behold, three men.
The Spirit of God came.
Are seeking you.
Meditation brings revelation from the Holy Spirit. When we don't give up, we keep on thinking. We keep on asking, turning over in our heart, asking God. Revelation comes by the Holy Spirit to help you and open the eyes of his understanding. Peter saw the vision, but the eyes of his understanding was off. Holy Ghost has to come and now to help him. What happened? Let's read.
And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them.
Holy Spirit, go, don't doubt. I am the one that sent them. When Peter heard from the Holy Spirit, my Lord, he never doubted. And this man came. Let's continue. What happened?
Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, yes, I am he whom you seek.
Can't you see? Peter never said, whom are you seeking? He has this revelation already by the Spirit. He's the one. So he said, I am the one you are seeking.
For what reason have you come?
Why have you come? Now, sorry. This is, for what reason have you
come?
Holy Ghost just said, please, I'm the one that sent this man. Go to them. But he never told him the meaning of the impure animals. He said, for what reason have you come? He never make, Peter have not had the correlation between the dream and this man yet.
He was just obeying the voice of the Spirit.
He was just obeying the voice of the Holy Spirit. So let's continue.
And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you.
Now, Peter will never, as a Jew, go to the house of a Gentile. stop yourself eating there if Holy Ghost didn't say, I'm the one that sent this man go. He heard revelation from the Spirit of God, instruction from him, and he obeyed. He never queried the instruction. This is what it means to walk in the Spirit, led by the Spirit. God said, what I have sanctified by my word is pure. You are doing my will. So Peter never said, eh? You understand me? He heard from the Holy Ghost and obeyed immediately. What happened next?
Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Mm-hmm. And the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. Mm-hmm. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I must not call any man common or unclean.
This is where he understood. Now he put the link between the impure animals in the dream God showed him and the house of Cornelius. Holy Ghost has worked in his heart. He began to understand the dream at that moment that, those impure animals God was showing me was the Gentiles. I should not consider any person bad or impure that God has called and sanctified.
Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, for what reason have you sent for me?
Hear that? I came without objection when I was sent by the Holy Spirit because he knows his voice. He recognized his voice and understood the voice and obeyed immediately. This is what we call divine faith. That's what Jesus was saying. I have many things to tell you. You can't bear them. When the Holy Ghost comes, he will guide you into the fullness of the truth. Jesus clearly said it. Another comforter, the Spirit of truth. He is with you. He will be in you. He was led by God and he obeyed. So now you can see there's revelation and understanding. It's the Holy Ghost that helps us to understand. When the Holy Ghost begins to speak to our heart, changes are beginning. And open awareness to understand. And Peter was able now to say, hey, it's instruction given to me, I obey. And what happened? Real movement. He obeyed on the instruction and went to the house of Cornelius without minding what others will say. After he came back, he faced fierce challenges from others. Why did he go there? He explained calmly. Now, read what you say. Next verse.
So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Therefore, send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you.
Listen to that. Why? Faith comes by hearing the message that came from God. That's the hearing of faith. God cannot do anything without the word, without faith. Now, for Cornelius to have faith for salvation, he has to listen to the gospel of message of salvation. When Peter came, he spoke to him words of life in his heart, just as Philip spoke to the Ethiopian eunuch. Straight. But the heart of this man was ready. The heart of Cornelius was ready for salvation. He was seeking for God, a Gentile. And immediately, the Spirit of God came when Peter spoke and he received the gift of the Holy Spirit, eternal life. You can see the process that leads to faith. We need to have the right knowledge of God when it is inspired by the Holy Spirit. When you have that right knowledge, you must go into spiritual understanding of it. And once you understand it, you'll be convinced about that truth and apply it in your life and act faith and salvation. God's promises come to your life. So that's why we encourage each one of you, when you read your Bible, pray, meditate, till God give you the clear light of understanding of the divine meaning of the Bible. The divine meaning is the life of the seed hidden. Mm. It's only the Spirit of God can bring to your human and spiritual understanding. And it becomes light. It becomes life. When it becomes life, it will settle understanding. And when you are convicted, faith comes, belief comes. And now you can activate whatever you ask, believing in your heart, you will receive. Thank you.
Amen. You know, this is the ladder of believing, the process of believing. And we're climbing up and up and up. And you have to start somewhere. So we spoke about knowledge. Now this is acceptance, which brings that understanding in your heart. You can know about Jesus, but for you to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have to understand that He is truly the way, the truth, and the life. And that has to be a personal conviction for you in your heart. That's the only way that acceptance can really make a difference. For that seed to be planted, it can now be watered and trusted, left to grow. And when it grows, we can see the amazing fruit in your life.
Because we have different types of hearts. We see through different eyes. Mm. We hear through different hearts. And we feel through different bodies. So now how we respond to the truth depends on the nature of your heart. Some hearts are slow to believe. They need to repeat until they get to the understanding. Some hearts are opening for salvation, immediately receive the seed. That's a good ground. Some hearts are not focused. They're in the worldly things. They can never receive the seed. Mm. That's why the nature of our heart is important to accept the truth when it comes. That's when we need the Holy Spirit. Nobody can believe with his heart without the help of the Holy Spirit.
It's true that for your heart to be good soil, the Holy Spirit needs to work in your heart. Mm. It's the Holy Spirit that prepares the ground. So therefore, your heart must be ready for the Holy Spirit.
So I remind you one message we give already. Understanding is a gift from God. Mm. Go to YouTube and go to that message. Understanding, a gift from God, where we explain in detail, in a full message, the process of it.
And you'll see there the production all about the road to Emmaus when Jesus appeared to the disciples after his resurrection and spoke to them, and their hearts were burning when he opened up the scriptures for them. So watch that. That's the episode on YouTube, and you'll really be blessed as you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you this gift of understanding.
So if you are striving to believe, is it difficult to understand? Remember Acts chapter 16, verse 14, how God opened the heart of Lydia to understand the message of Paul and act of faith. Remember what Jesus said in Luke chapter 24, verse 45. The Bible says he opened the heart of the disciples to understand the scriptures. Mm. We need help with the Holy Spirit. We repeat, we need revelation from the Holy Ghost. We need understanding and guidance from him to accept the truth in the midst of our heart, to bear fruit unto righteousness, in Jesus' name.
Amen. So stay tuned with us on this series, as next time you'll meet us again here for part 3, which is all about
conviction. Yes.
Which brings what?
Thank you.
Real movement.
Absolutely. The Lord bless you. Stay in faith in Jesus' name.
That's the best place to be.
The Lord be with your spirit.